A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy Saturday, everybody. Here we are, the last Saturday in August.
I know,
I
it's
cannot
crazy.
Believe that.
It feels like June.
It does feel like June. Where in the world did summer go? I know I sound like people's parents or their grandparents. I always thought, man, that is something that old people say. You know, because grandma would always say it. Oh, time goes by.
Right.
And she'd say it in that voice. She was hard to listen to. But really, it's true. I'm not old, am I? Okay. I'm older, but I'm not old. But time is flying.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, I know that it happens. You know, time flies by, and maybe our kitchens are a little bit stuck in the past.
Maybe the kitchens don't keep up.
Yeah, they didn't go quite as fast as the rest of time did. So we know that people always think about the same updates when it comes to a kitchen. But today, we want to give you some unique ideas that are cost-effective and are going to take your kitchen to that next level.
Also, it's back to school time again, which brings us back to how time flies. I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there thinking, you gotta be kidding me. We just left this place and now here we are again.
Right.
You know, everybody's getting ready. They're spending tons of money buying supplies, buying clothes.
Yep.
But are you and your kids really prepared? We're in the studio with Tom DeGraff and Dave Musen from Zeeland Public Schools, and we're going to talk about what you need to know to keep your kids safe this school year.
But before we get to that, we're in the studio with Mark DeVisser from The Plumber Is Here. We're going to talk about tankless hot water heaters.
And this is important to me because I have a lot of children in the home who use a lot of hot water.
Yes.
And so every time, you know, about three of us basically every night get warm water, and the rest of us either have to wait until the tank heats back up again, or we just have to, you know, pull or plunge it. And nobody likes to do that. Well, not in the shower.
not in the shower.
Not before bed. So I'm excited to talk to Mark about tankless hot water heaters and maybe see if there's an answer for my dilemma.
Right.
Mark, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
Now, because we're always running out of hot water at my home, this whole idea of a tankless hot water system or hot water heater, that's incredibly appealing to me. But when I read about them and study about them, I see a lot of people love them and a lot of people have a lot of negative stuff to say.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what I wanted to do today is to just help people who are on the fence, people like me, to make a good informed decision. And so right now, what we'd like to do is just start with how the system works. There's no tank involved. It doesn't heat water up ahead of time. It heats it up as I want it. How in the world does that work? And how in the world is it fast enough to keep up with me?
A tankless heater runs water through smaller tubes, which have a larger gas burner concentrated on it. So you're feeding through a mesh of tubes, which has a large amount of gas flowing against it, therefore heating it very quickly and also heating it endlessly. You could leave it run 24 hours a day if you needed it, and supply it.
That would be nice. It would always be there. I could just step in real quick and step back out.
There you go.
I never have to hurt my hand turning it on and off.
Right.
Okay, so it's narrower tubes and more of them.
Yes.
Okay, that right off the bat answers that part of the question, how it keeps up. The other thing I'm curious about, though, is what happens if you've got multiple things running at the same time, two showers or a shower and a dishwasher? Can this thing keep up with the hot water flow?
It can keep up. And just to say, they've come a long way with tankless. I think they've eliminated any and all problems that they had in the beginning.
Like what kind of problems?
Well, they had some that wouldn't maybe supply enough water.
Okay.
They had some maintenance issues. They had a number of things they've worked through over the years, and I believe that they've reached the ultimate goal where problems are very minor, if any, and the amount of water they will heat is larger than it used to be. So, yes, you should be able to run a couple of showers and a dishwasher
at the same time.
At the same time.
And not have an issue.
Really much reduction of anything.
So, no water pressure reduction or anything like that?
If so, very slightly. But
so it's not
you
gonna be a trickle
shouldn't,
coming out of the shower.
No, you shouldn't really notice at all.
So, is there any reason to ever have to install a second tankless water heater? Because I've heard of some homes where they put two in.
Oh, yes. I mean, we see systems where there's 20 of them in a row, like in a hotel.
Okay.
Or something like that. Houses, it would depend on the size of the house. Yeah, I guess if you did an 8-bath house and you were going to have company over all the time, I guess you would definitely have to have more than one.
All right. So truly, I'm going to get, well, relatively instant hot water. I mean, there's got to be, there's cold water in the line, so it's not going to be the minute I turn the tap on.
Well, actually, the ones that we install now actually have a small tank in them that's kept hot all the time. And that's been one thing that some people complained about is once you turned on the faucet, this unit had to physically turn on, start the burner, start heating cold water. And therefore, you had a little bit of a gap there, which was small, but it was there where a regular tank type, when you turn on the faucet, it comes out full temperature right out the top. So they've conquered that. And the one that we install the most has a very small tank in it, maybe approximately a gallon. And so that instant off the top is 100% hot. And by the time it gets up and running, your gallon is half gone, and it's mixing again, and so you wouldn't notice anything at all.
So it's almost instantly hot.
It's as instant as a tank type off the top of the unit. It's fully hot instantly. Yes, that's fairly new.
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about tankless hot water heaters. For those people who might be on the fence, we want to give you a little bit of information that might help you make a decision. So we talked about how they work. What about the expense of these things? What is the expense compared to a regular tanked heater?
So you're going to probably spend possibly three times as much to go from a tank type to an on-demand type.
So is that an installed price with the unit, or is that just the unit itself?
That's the whole package.
So installed. Okay.
Installed, yes, exactly.
So what is the average price for an installed tankless hot water heater?
I think if you're looking for a tankless hot water heater, you could definitely expect that you could spend $4,000. You might spend less.
We're going to need Windex and some paper towels to clean up the mess Betsy just made.
That was me choking.
Now, there are other options that are going to be less expensive. Or that's pretty much average.
There's options to go to something slightly smaller. You can go to something that doesn't have the tank. Okay. I still think you're in that $3,500 range as sort of a start.
Okay. And then so a regular tank type hot water heater, you were saying, is about three times less. So anywhere from $1,500.
Yeah, tank type, depending on which type of tank it is, there's power vents and there's gravity vents. Gravity vents, let's say they're maybe $1,000 or $1,200. A power vent water heater might be up to closer to $2,000.
Okay. So while it's expensive, or at least that's how it seems with this $4,000, it doesn't necessarily put it so far.
Right.
I mean, away from the other ones, depending on what I chose.
Sure.
So that's always going to be the case. I guess I knew it was more expensive.
Right.
But I guess I'm curious from your point of view. I've got a tank type hot water heater. If I pull that out and put in this other system, is that going to add expense because you're retrofitting it?
Well, actually, the pricing that I'm giving is kind of for the retrofitting.
Okay.
Yes, if you called me and you had a on-demand and you wanted to change it, you know, maybe that would just get down in the $2,000 range.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's more expensive to retrofit one than it is to...
Definitely, yes. It would be more expensive because there's changes of the water lines. There's changes of the gas lines.
Okay.
Oftentimes it needs a little bigger gas line. That's something that always has to be taken into account.
And that's something you could come out and determine by looking at my system if that's going to
definitely
be the case.
So a DIYer who is pretty handy with things, is this something that they might be able to attempt themselves, or is this something that you absolutely should call someone like you for?
Well,
it sounds complicated.
It depends on the DIYer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think most people would want to do it themselves.
Okay.
When he started talking about different gas lines and stuff, my desire to do this myself went down dramatically.
Well, and I will say I've had a personal experience with someone putting in one of these, and just the, getting the right fittings and these special valves and things like that and installing them correctly seemed really complicated to me.
Like anything, when you do it all day, you make it look easy.
Of course.
There's a lot of things I do all day that every single time it looks like a struggle. I've done things where the kids have said, Dad, didn't you do this before? I said, yeah, you should have seen the first time. You think this is bad.
This is me on expert mode.
Right. So there are certain things that just it's not up your alley. So sounds like something
you got to definitely call a professional.
Or weigh it out, you know, what you can do.
Right.
Now, Mark, we're running short on time, and I'm just wondering if you could hang with us over the break.
Sure, that'd be fine.
Good deal. Now, we've talked about why we all want one of these tankless water heaters, but that brings up the big question, how long is it going to last? And the bottom line, is it really worth it to invest in one of these things? We're going to find out when we come back. Stay tuned.
Repco Light and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
I'm Kurt Van Overloop from KVO Painting. Benjamin Moore is my paint and Repco Light is my store.
The six West Michigan Repcolite stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, we're back in the studio, and we were just interviewing Mark DeVisser from theplumbershere.com about tankless hot water heaters. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of questions. I've kind of just gone off and asked a lot of things. I've done a lot of talking. In the break, right. Mark informed me that I
talk too much?
Spoke a lot. So I'll try to minimize it as much as I can. But the thing I want to get to now is we just talked about the installation, we talked about how they worked and all of those things. Mm. Now I want to get to, you know, after the fact. Let's say I decided to put this in. I know they're more expensive. I understood that going into it.
Right.
But they're supposed to last so much longer. Is that really what you see in the field? Is that how you see this playing out?
Yeah. I think when they came out, they said, Consumers Report, I think, said they would last 20 years. And I was extremely skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
However, we just cleaned a unit last week that had been in almost 15 years, had never been cleaned.
Holy smokes.
The efficiency was down, but it was still working great.
Oh, really? Hmm.
So I guess I've gotten past the thought that they won't last 20 years. They are, for the proper unit, they're lasting a long time.
Is that how the companies seem to look at them, too? Do they warrant them differently?
Well, they come with a 15-year, the one that we sell comes with a 15-year heat exchanger warranty. That's a lot compared to a tank type, which kind of standard comes with six.
Okay.
Although you can pay more and get the same heater with a longer warranty up to 12 years, but it's still the same heater. You're just paying for the warranty.
Okay.
Just to let you know, all water heater tank types are supposed to be drained every year. Mm-hmm. I don't know more than one person who actually does that. But these, in order to keep the efficiency, you also need to have them maintenance annually or every other year, depending on the water that's going through it.
By an expert? Or can you do this yourself?
Well, I guess you can do anything yourself, but I don't think you're probably going to do it yourself. You're going to call somebody.
Are you saying me specifically? Because you are looking specifically
at me. Yes, I am looking
at
you.
I'm more capable than I give myself credit for. Mm. But so most people, though.
Most people are going to call and have an annual or semi-annual every other year, have it maintained and flushed out that allows it to continue with its efficiency. These things are up to 99% efficient, so they're extremely efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And is it an expensive thing to do? I would just kind of put in $150 a time to have
Every year or every couple of years.
Every year, every other year, depending on whether you're on well. If you're on well water, we want to do it every year. If you're on city water, then maybe every other year.
Okay, the repair part of it. You mentioned at the very beginning that they've ironed out a lot of kinks, a lot of the maintenance issues.
Yes.
You talked about the tank that's been added to reduce the weight. You know, because once I get this on-demand water. I don't want to wait even a few seconds. I want it instantly.
Of course.
The way I want it.
Yes.
But what about other maintenance issues have you seen? You know, they're relatively new technology. And, you know, now that they've been out for a number of years, you know, what are you seeing? Are you seeing that they're maintenance
free? We see some maintenance on them. Generally, the problem is they bought a unit that, how do I say it, maybe not be a preferred unit. And there are some units that we've seen extensive problems with.
Particular
and hard
brands.
Brands.
Okay.
So using a qualified contractor that installs something that they know and they're used to and they can get parts for, in my opinion, is a big benefit.
And that helps a lot.
Yes.
What is the brand you?
We use Navion.
Okay.
So we established that the tankless water heater is more expensive, and we established that it still has maintenance, just like a tanked heater does. So what is the bottom line? Is there really a savings that people are going to get from paying more money for this unit?
First of all, I guess I would say that every house and every need is different. But mm-hmm. let me give you a couple of statistics.
Okay.
So according to some studies, the average family will spend roughly $250 to $450 per year on hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And that is approximately 14 to 25% of their energy bill. So if you had a two-person home instead of the average four-person, then that cost would be a little less. So let's assume that you saved 28% on the efficiency from a tank type going mm-hmm. to an on-demand, you might save 28%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you figure that out, you might save $9.33 a month
mm-hmm.
or $112 a year. So it's, to me, it's pretty easy for a consumer to look at that and say, well, I'm going to save possibly $112 a year, depending on the family. If you have a huge family, if you had a hotel, there's many places where you're going to use way more water than that.
Right.
But a couple might mm-hmm. only save $90 a year in energy savings. Mm-hmm. And maybe when they look at that, they might say, well, it's not worth it for us.
Not worth that upfront expense.
Yeah. Now, let's all understand that your tank-type water heater may go in 7 to 10 years, and you might do it again where your tankless will still be running strong, mm-hmm. so that you want to take that into effect, too, and the hassle and all that.
Well, and the other thing to take into account, you know, the biggest thing, at least for me, is it's not about savings. You know, that's not the thing that's driving me.
Mm-hmm.
It's having hot water when we want it.
Correct.
Right.
And that's only going to be fixed by this or by installing 12 hot water heaters.
Right.
Which is going to be expensive.
Just to say, we have a huge amount of people who have second homes that come for the weekend, and the kids come and the mm-hmm. grandkids come. And at Friday night at 5 o'clock, they all get in the shower to go out to eat.
Right.
And we find a huge group of people that they just don't have enough hot water. And they also like the thought that during the week, while they're gone all week, this thing is not using really almost anything.
Right.
So that's a big demand of a lot of people.
All right. There's a ton that we could get into, but that's just all there's time. If our listeners would like to get in touch with you, Mark, for more information about this or any of the other plumbing services that you offer, how's the best way for them to do that?
Online at theplumberishere.com.
So go to theplumberishere.com, and while you're there, make sure you scroll to the bottom of Mark's page and click the Facebook link there so you can go to his Facebook page. It's definitely worth checking out. Mark, once again, we enjoyed the visit. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks, guys.
Now, when we come back, it's back to school time again. Mm-hmm. Everybody's favorite time of year.
Yes.
Are you doing everything you can to keep your kids or your grandkids safe? Well, we've got the experts in the studio to tell us everything we need to know. Stick around.
What if there was a paint so special that you had to seek it out? No, not like that. Not that far. Much closer. Like your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Yep, you got it. Because if finding that paint makes you and your walls beam with pride, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
A little Chuck Berry to start us off, because it is back to school time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And I love this time of year because back to school means school supplies. And I love pens and colored paper clips and notebooks in every color. And freshly sharpened pencils in the morning. What could be better than that?
Right. Back to school is a time, at least at our house, where we do a ton of back to school shopping.
Right.
Tons of expense. We buy a lot of supplies.
Yes.
A lot of supplies. But do we do the things that are most important for getting our kids really ready for the new school year? Well, we're in the studio with Tom DeGraff, principal of Lincoln Elementary in Zeeland, and Dave Musen, the director of transportation for Zeeland Public Schools, and we're going to discuss a few safety issues that we may not be thinking about right now. Tom and Dave, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Now, let's just jump right into this. What are some of the things, the most important things, that you think we as parents need to know to help our kids be ready to start this year?
Well, I think as parents try to get in the last few weeks of summer break and get all those experiences into the kids, that's sort of what they're kind of focusing on. But what we hope they focus on is that transition back into the more structured routine. And so as kids are going to come back to school, we want them to start structuring their bedtimes, their screen times, setting aside time where they can start reading and kind of get ready for that routine so that when they do actually start school, mm-hmm. it's not such a shock at home, the changes that happen there. So we really hope parents can put some effort into that week before school, structuring the time and getting ready for the fall schedule.
So from one angle, you're getting the kids ready. You're getting them in the mindset for school. Now let's shift to just some of the safety stuff. What would you tell them are some of the safest things they can do? Because we want our kids to be as safe as possible. Of course, you know, it's a home improvement show.
Right.
But if our family isn't in our home, you know, who cares if,
you know, who cares if you redid the bathroom?
Right. We just talked about tankless hot water heaters
yep.
that will run endless hot water.
And if your kid isn't there to shower and use it.
What good is that? Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So this is very important
yeah.
stuff.
Safety is very important. And planning ahead of time, having a backpack at home and having your routine, like Tom said, get into the routine this coming week. So when school starts, you have your routine down pat. You know, getting out of bed on time, breakfast, having your stuff set aside the night before, a backpack with all your loose papers and that kind of stuff. And that's a real safety issue. So
when I'm at the
bus stop, I have my backpack and I don't have like a folder with my papers. If I drop the folder, the papers fly all over and our young children are so spontaneous that
right.
all of a sudden they'll chase after the loose papers and they might run into traffic or having their basketball or football in the fall, basketball in the winter and soccer balls and baseballs in the spring, having all that in your backpack so it doesn't fall out into the roadway or in front of traffic and really working with your kids to make sure that you're on time. So if the bus stop would be 7 o'clock, always be 5 minutes early. So we say early, but actually, so 7 o'clock bus stop, 6:55 is on time, 7 o'clock is late. All right, so be there on time and you're not chasing buses. And then making sure if you're a parent, somebody in the neighborhood or whatever is there with the your sons and daughters just to watch and to watch what's happening there. It takes a whole community sometimes. And, you know, you want to be with your children at the bus stop and be there in the afternoons.
You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're in the studio with Tom DeGraff and Dave Musen from Zeeland Public Schools. And we're talking about just some back-to-school tips, some things that we need to know to get our kids ready to go back and to get us ready to go back. And I guess what I want to shift into right now real quickly is something we haven't talked about, you know, as we're kind of getting ready for this interview, but some of the other things that occur in school. You know, we talk about bus safety and we talk about things like that. That mm-hmm. all makes sense. But what about as the school year starts to go? We see bullying. We see, you know, all these other things that come up. Drugs, you know,
right.
no matter what school system you're in. What do you do? What do you tell kids? How do you tell parents to deal and to help get their kids ready to deal with some of these things?
You know, I think as a principal, we used to, when I was in school, we just did fire drills and tornado drills.
Mm-hmm.
And that was you know, became kind of a joke because we had to do so many. Well, we still do the fire drills and tornado drills, but we are now required to do emergency drills of a variety of scenarios. So we do lockdown shelters in places, and we teach the students what these mean. And so quite often students will do these drills and we tell them to go home and talk to their parents about what were the steps that they went through so that they can learn and they can be helpful in that process of responding to an emergency. We also have in place crisis response teams. So when students experience trauma and they just really struggle coming to school, whether it's death in the families or they've witnessed something or they've been victims of something, our crisis response teams are trained and ready to respond regardless of the size of the situation.
So what about a kid who is being bullied, let's say, or something like that, you know, and it's intimidating and I don't know what to do with it? How do we talk to our kids and get them ready to approach some of these issues?
Sometimes us as parents are the last to find some things out. Like my boys are now mid-20s and we talk about things and I go, oh, really? That happened?
Right.
All right. And they're like, well, yeah. All right. And they're about, I talked to this person or that person about it. So we really have to work with our sons and daughters to make sure they understand there's more people than just maybe dad to talk to, or, hey, maybe you want to talk to just mom or just me separate, not both of us together. Or, you know, build some trust to say, if you're a junior high student facing some issues, say it's okay for you to go talk to your assistant principal. You don't have to be in trouble to go talk to the principal.
Right.
Or there's counselors in schools. You know, find your principal, say, can I talk to a counselor? I got a few things I just want to talk about. Or share with them that a lot of their teachers, they really do care. Or their bus drivers. Their bus drivers hear lots of things. All right. And
sure,
sit up front and chat with a bus driver. There's that whole community gets together to try and listen and to be always listening. And as parents, we got to really encourage our sons and daughters to look for people to talk to.
You know, it's not a popularity contest between parents. If they choose a different adult to talk to, you shouldn't feel hurt because they chose that. They just felt that that would be an easier avenue to let go of the burdens that they carry. And eventually the word will get to everybody that needs to know. And we work on this together as a community.
Right.
Well, we really could just keep going and going with this, but that's pretty much all the time we've got for today. So Tom and Dave, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome,
thanks,
sir.
Betsy.
Thanks, Dan.
You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood, 1300 and 106.9 FM.
When your kids arrive home safe and sound from school, where do they go?
They go to the kitchen, Betsy.
Exactly.
For snacks.
Exactly. Is it a place that welcomes the family home after a long day? After the break, we've got some great kitchen updates that are as unique as the family that enjoys them. Stick around.
Working your fingers right down to the bone. The guy behind you won't leave you alone.
Repco Light and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
I'm Dan Skipper from Skip's Painting. Benjamin Moore is my paint, and Repco Light is my store.
The six West Michigan Repco Light stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. And we're almost there at the end of another episode of the Repco Light Home Improvement Show.
Yes.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And yes, it is the last segment, but it is a great segment. It is guaranteed to get everyone's creative juices flowing. I know it got mine flowing, and now I just want to do a whole bunch of projects at home.
Right, because what we want to talk about are kitchen projects, but not expensive big kitchen projects. These kitchen projects are very simple, very quick projects. You can do them on a weekend, and some of them will cost as little as $20.
Right.
The first thing that you can do to just completely update your kitchen is to just add pops of color in creative, unique, or strategic areas.
Right. A great way to use color is to use it inside of cabinets. It's very unexpected. You can either keep the cabinet doors on and when you open them, hey, there's the color, or take the doors off and suddenly you have open shelving with this color behind. Lime green is really popular right now, and a lot of people don't want to commit to putting it on their walls because that's very bright.
Well, it's so bright. It's scary.
We don't know
if it's going to work. A lot of work to put that all up there, and what if I hate it?
Right.
But painting inside your cabinets, just the back of all that shelving, not a big deal. If you hate it, you can redo it very quickly and very inexpensively.
Right.
But if you like it, what a tremendous impact.
Right.
It completely changes the look and feel of a room.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you do have to do a little organizing. This isn't something that just would automatically work at my house. I'd open up my cabinets, catch the three dishes and bowls and cups that fall out, like a juggler. I got to catch them, make sure they don't break.
Right.
Then we'd have to reorganize everything. But still, it's a win-win
so
in the end.
So two birds, one stone.
But that's one place to add pops of color.
Right.
Another place that's very practical and very easy would be the stools around your island, or maybe even the chairs around your table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are great ways. Paint just those. Paint
right.
just the legs of the chairs. Paint just the legs of the stools.
Mm-hmm.
Paint the whole stool. It's just a great way to add a bright color, a color you might not want to put on the walls or on your cabinets or anywhere else, but add it to those areas. You can control it that way. It doesn't overpower the room. And if you do want to change it down the road, you've only got a few pieces where you actually make the change on.
Right. Another way to use color is to use chalkboard paint. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Benjamin Moore has a chalkboard paint that comes in any Benjamin Moore color. It's a great thing to use on the insides of your cabinets for grocery lists and measurement conversions and things like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe a message board somewhere by a phone or where people are constantly needing to leave notes. It's a great thing to bring in color, but also it gives functionality to the space.
Right. And again, we can't stress how cool this is because it comes in any color.
Red, green, purple.
Any color.
Yellow.
And then if you use chalkboard markers.
Yes.
Which
chalk markers.
Chalk markers, right. They're designed to, they leave very bright colors, vibrant colors, and they don't create the dust and the powder. You just wipe them away with a damp rag.
That's the secret to using chalkboard paint anywhere anymore, because nobody wants the mess, and especially not in your kitchen. The chalk markers are the answer to that.
Now, one last thing to consider, this whole pop of color thing, we've been using and talking about that in terms of yellows and, you know, lime greens and things like that, but it doesn't need to be a bright color.
No.
We've been, you know, looking at pictures, and we talk to hundreds of customers all the time.
Yeah.
And we hear what they're working on. And some of my favorite rooms, some of my favorite kitchens have been kitchens that have very neutral, like cabinets, you know, white cabinets or off-white cabinets, off-white walls. And the color they bring in, you know, that really jumps off the walls are things like natural wood shelving.
Right.
Natural wood tones, you know, cherry wood tones. It's not a color, but it completely contrasts with everything there. It gives that natural feel. It creates a visual texture.
Yep.
It's just a great way to add that pop of color. So don't get locked into this idea that, okay, in order to make this work, I've got to use crazy colors.
Right.
It doesn't have to be that. It could be grays.
Yep. Grays, chocolate browns, anything like that that is not what everything else is, that's going to be technically a pop of color in there. It's just a little more neutral, and that's okay.
Right. Now, one project would be to just add a pop of color. Get a quart of paint. And if you're going to do that with a color, we'd recommend that the quart of paint be Benjamin Moore's Aura, especially if it's a deep color or a rich color.
Exactly.
Because Benjamin Moore's Aura will cover much better than any other paint out there.
Yep.
You're going to get two coats coverage no matter what color you've chosen and no matter what color you're going over.
Right.
So Benjamin Moore's Aura would be perfect for those pops of color.
Right.
Now, the next thing that you could try, another project, would be to create an island in your kitchen.
Exactly. How many times do you look at pictures in magazines or online, things like that, and it's a picture of a kitchen and your eye goes straight to an island in that kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That has the biggest impact. 9 times out of 10, that's what we notice in a photo because that's what people want in their kitchen. I read a statistic. It's like 70% of houses sell better if they have an island in them because that's what people want. I just read that statistic.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you don't have an island, get one. Exactly. And here's how. You can repurpose furniture mm-hmm. and turn that into an island. So you don't have to have this massive, you know, thing that was created by a builder.
Right.
And throw that into your kitchen space. Because yep. not all of us can do that. Not all of us have the space to do
and
that.
And it can be expensive
Very
to do
expensive.
That.
Not all of us have the money to do that.
Yes, that's me.
But you can repurpose furniture. That is one of the coolest things I've seen. Yes. Old dressers, for example,
yep.
that are turned into islands.
Yes.
And it's really just a matter of searching out the right piece mm-hmm. and then being creative with it.
Right.
Now, you could remove the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing to do. And people will replace them with a butcher block top.
Yep.
Or they can create a wood plank top over it.
Yep.
Some of them will create tops that overhang a little bit.
Yes,
so they can fit stools underneath
mm-hmm.
it. Again, perfect. Whatever you need for your space. Sometimes you need to pull the drawers out and create open shelving in there
right.
for pots, pans, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great look. So dressers are one way to go.
Right. I saw some really cool ones that were made out of old doors and old windows. And I have to say, the old window one was my favorite. Basically, they made a greenhouse-looking island out of it. You know, windows on four sides, and they hung pots and pans in it. Now,
right. They created a base with legs.
Yeah.
And then a tabletop.
Right.
And then this box of windows with
pans
inside.
It was amazing. I have to wonder about the practicality of it.
Yeah, I do too.
People kids, running and
Yeah, with
dogs.
Kids in the house, with the dog in the house. I don't know about the glass in there. Maybe
right.
it was plexiglass.
Right.
Maybe
could be.
This one did have glass in it.
Yeah. It
Maybe
did.
You could pull it off without glass in the panes.
You probably could.
It was a cool look, though. The thing that was most amazing about it is you completely change that kitchen
oh, yeah.
by putting that piece
the
in there.
The kitchen was built around that piece. It was just, that's where your eye went, and I couldn't take my eyes off it. It was amazing.
So there is a very simple project, completely will change
mm-hmm.
the look and feel of your kitchen. Another great one that I saw, again, very simple,
mm-hmm.
was a wash basin on pedestal legs, and they just put that in the kitchen. It was rusty.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a top that kind of fit on it.
Yes.
And then they would remove the top and use the basin for storage of cookbooks and things like that.
Yep.
Again, it completely gives you a theme to work with. And you can build a whole kitchen around something as simple as a wash basin island.
Right. You have form and function with these things, and that's great. If you want more ideas, we actually have a Pinterest board that has all of our favorite islands on it. So go check it out. Get inspired by it. And there is nothing that you can't turn into an island. And if you have a small kitchen, don't think that you can't have an island. I've seen some really tiny little islands. Put wheels underneath it so you can move it out of the way when you don't need it, but bring it back when you do. That's a great way to add one to a small space.
This is just one of those projects that has tons of fun to it. You can
yes.
search for the perfect item, then you've got the process of turning it into what you want,
mm-hmm.
and then the reward of enjoying it once you're done. If you're uncomfortable with any of it, stop in at any Repco Light or Port City Paint store, and anybody there will help you through the process, recommend the right products for you, and get you on the right track.
Right. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about some simple but unique things that you can do in your kitchen to really make a statement. Now, the next thing that you can do is use anaglypta wallpaper in there. And I know a lot of our listeners are probably not familiar with that. It's a textured wallpaper that you paint over, so it can be any color that you want. Originally, it was made for old homes to cover cracks and things like that in the walls, but you can use it anywhere in your home.
Right. The texture it has, it can look like tin ceiling tiles.
Yes.
A lot of different textures
mm-hmm.
are available. Floral patterns.
Right.
You just have to check the books out
yes.
to really see what's available. What makes it really cool, like Betsy was saying, is that you paint it.
Mm-hmm.
And while that's cool, there's a lot that you can do once it's painted. You can glaze it.
Yep.
You know, rub a darker color over top of it, pull it off of the raised areas and let that darker color just settle in some of the grooves and all
yep.
that to bring the texture to the surface. One of the coolest applications I've ever seen is they painted it a red,
mm-hmm.
a deep red,
yeah.
and then they had a hard rubber roller
mm-hmm.
and they rolled over all the raised areas with
yeah.
metallic gold.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it was a very cool look.
Yeah, you can also put it on your ceiling and it looks like a tin ceiling, but it's so much less expensive. You can also put that look on the islands that we were just talking about if you're concerned that maybe the piece you've chosen has some dents and dings.
Right, flaws.
Right, you just don't really like the look of. Use this, it'll cover them up, and it'll look like tin. It's very popular right now, that look, but it's so much less expensive than going and buying old tin.
Right. Anaglypta wallpaper installs basically like regular
mm-hmm.
wallpaper.
Yep.
It's going to price out the same or cheaper
yes.
than regular wallpaper.
Yep.
it's a great way to go. You can get that or at least look at books at our Repco Light stores on Plainfield Avenue in Grand Rapids, at the Lakewood Boulevard store or the 17th Street location in Holland, either of those, and then our brand new Kalamazoo store. In Kalamazoo, Gull Road.
Yes, out on Gull Road. Go see Paul and Zach. They want to say hello to everyone.
And that's going to do it for another episode of the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show. Remember that we've got all our past episodes online at RepcoLite.com. You just need to go click the On the Radio tab on the homepage and then check out the archives.
And if you have questions, you can email us at radio@RepcoLite.com. Also, you can follow us on social media, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, and Facebook. You want to be sure to check out our Facebook page this Tuesday because we're going to announce a sale that starts on Wednesday and goes through Saturday, and you'll be the first to know about it if you go to our Facebook page.
And of course, no matter what project you're working on this weekend, even if you're thinking about getting a tankless hot water heater and that's what you're working on this weekend, you still need to paint that spot on the wall where it's going to go so it will look really good.
Right. It's like a backdrop for your new tankless heater.
Probably use a pop of color there.
I would.
Yes. You can get your paint at any Repco Light or Port City Paint store. We'd love to see you. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we can help you take a hot shower, no matter how long the person in front of you just went.
No more polar plunges?
No more polar plunges, Betsy.
Bummer.
Thanks for listening.